Okay, so at this time is a workshop speaker meeting on the topic of good orderly direction. And this time I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Allie B.
I'm Allie, I'm an addict.
Hi, Allie.
I hate speaking at these podiums, and I was like thinking about it last night and this morning, why, and it's because it makes me feel like I'm at court. Like, I feel like I'm at a courthouse, right, and I'm defending myself. So once I had that thought, I was like, okay, like, you're not going to court, you're going to chair a meeting, and you've done that for 14 years. When I got here, I guess I'll qualify myself, even though, you know, I know you guys don't care about what or how much I used, but, you know, it's good to get an idea of where I came from, and it's good to remind me of where I came from. So when I got here, my clean date is January 11th, 2011, and that is the last day that I went to a methadone program, and the reason that it's my clean date is because they... every day for about probably a couple weeks, I would go in there. They took me all the way down to 1 milligram. It was all water, if you, like, really want to know. They put it in front of me, and they'd be like, how do you feel today? And I would be like, I feel okay, but, you know, I'm okay. Like, I'm just going to drink it, and then I'll see you tomorrow. I'll make a decision. And that day, for whatever reason, a power greater than me, I went into that facility, and they asked the same thing that they'd asked for a couple weeks, and I was like, you know what, I'm good. I think I'm good, and I don't want that today. And I got back in the car with my father, because I was 26 years old at the time. I didn't have my license. It had gotten suspended, and my dad used to drive me every day to that program, and I remember I got in the car, and he was like, we got to come back tomorrow. It was like this thing that we did every day. And I was like, no. I was like, I didn't drink the last dose that they gave me, and I don't want to come back here ever again. And at this point, I had already been coming to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I started coming, I think it was like May 21st, 2010. And I was just at my wit's end. I was done with using. I had hit a rock bottom, which was being arrested, you know, and it was crazy because I didn't realize, like, it was not until that moment that my freedom was taken away from me, that, like, when they put my hands behind my back and they put the cuffs on me, that, like, I had the thought of, like, holy shit, this is illegal, what I am doing, because, like, I had lived in such a delusional state for so long that I had normalized drug use, and, you know, I was started to take good orderly direction after I got arrested, and I called a lawyer, and they had said, you know, you should probably go to a rehab, you should probably go to some NA meetings, it'll look good in court, whatever. And I didn't know that that's where the journey would start for me. I did not know this is where I would end up. But I took the suggestions, which was a power greater than me, and still to this day is a god of my understanding, just, you know, good orderly direction. So I started going to NA meetings. I didn't really talk about being on methadone at the time because it was kind of like a controversial thing, right? Like, it was, we didn't have that IP yet, so I got a lot of personal opinions about the idea of it, and you know, so I gotten honest with a couple people, but I decided that I was just gonna try to get off of it on my own. And you know, I remember, like, the couple predecessors that I did share it with. One of them at a meeting, they kept seeing me come back because, you know, I heard all the things, like, go to 90 meetings in 90 days, get a sponsor, get a home group, get a service commitment. And I was like, well, I can't do that because I'm on methadone. But, you know, I did all of the other things, and somebody just casually said to me, you know, you can't really fully work this program or enjoy the benefits of working this program if you're still living that lifestyle. And I carried that with me until that last day. And so by the time I had gotten off of methadone, I had already had a sponsor. I had already had a home group, and I didn't really get honest with it about being on methadone. And like May 2011 came up, and, you know, I joined a home group. I gave them a fake clean date, and I was like, oh my God, you got to celebrate a year. And I was like scared to death to get on. I didn't know how to be honest, right? Honesty was not a part of using for me. I lied about everything. So I celebrated a year clean when I had like about 6 months. And it was the most shameful thing I could have ever done, right? And nobody, like, knew, nobody really cared, but the guilt and shame that I felt and the dishonesty Oh my God. So after that, I decided I had to get clean and I had to change my clean date. And I was in a big home group at the time. It was my home group for 10 years. Let go and let God. Wonderful meeting. And I remember the next group conscience. I was like, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And I was like, guys, I got to change my clean date. And it was funny because half the group was like, oh, you can keep your clean time. Half of us were on methadone when we first got clean. You're fine. And then the other half was like, we got to do what's best for you. And I knew what was best for me. So I went ahead and changed my clean date. And in that moment, I became part of the No Matter What Club, right? I was like, I'm not, no matter what, I'm not going back out. I'm not using. And I started to take good orderly directions, right? Because this program is so simple. It's laid out. People already did the hard work. All I got to do is take the suggestions that are freely given to me. I mean, and it was just, it's so simple. But God, I can complicate it so much. I was reading the second edition basic text that one of the guys had up here. And it was I opened it up to the sixth step. And, you know, just, I'm going to open it up and I'm going to read what it is, because that's how a power greater than me and good orderly direction work in my life. And I was reading it on the sixth step. And, you know, I haven't been in a great spot for probably a couple years, if I'm being honest. I got 14 years clean. I just celebrated it, but I didn't want to celebrate because I just haven't spiritually been in like a good spot. And it was talking about character defects when I opened the book, and it was like, if we are greedy, we will become unsatisfied. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like, how dare they? But what a... But, and then I was also talking about just like all of these things, all of these character defects. And it wasn't until I read that I was like, damn, my spirit is dying because I'm not living these spiritual principles. You know, and a little bit about how I got to that place is like, you know, I came around here and I took the suggestions. I got all of the commitments, right? I was involved at area level. I had a regional commitment, I think, at one point. I've been on the hotline, H&I, done it all. And then COVID happened, right? And like that shit flipped my world upside down. And meanwhile, I also went to school through this process because you guys were like, what are you going to do with your life? Yeah, your whole life ahead of you. And I had never thought about going back to school. I barely graduated high school. I'm pretty sure they just gave me that degree to be like, get the hell out of here. Like, we don't want to see you anymore. So I went back to school and I got a job in healthcare. So when COVID had happened, like, not only had my recovery, you know, I didn't have my H&I commitment anymore. I wasn't on special events because nothing was going on. I worked in a hospital and, you know, I do ultrasound, and at first it was easy because everybody knew, nobody was ordering shit. I didn't have to scan a damn person. And then once we discovered that COVID causes blood clots, that's one of the tests that I do. I was scanning everybody. And, you know, I remember though, I'll never forget the first time I went up to the ICU and I had to scan a patient that was on a vent with all the things, you know, and like they were actively dying of the disease. And I prayed, because in that moment, like, I had all my PPE on and shit. I couldn't call my sponsor, you know, and I had developed a relationship with a God of my understanding by this point. And I was like, all right, that's who I got to go to. And I prayed, and it was that, like, just listen to what they tell you what to do. It was the same message that I heard in Narcotics Anonymous. I just got to take the suggestion. So I put on all my PPE, and I put on all my stuff, and I went in the room, and I had faith that everything would be okay. And what's funny is that I didn't get COVID until I left working at that hospital. So I ended up getting it a couple years later, but I think none of us went without getting it at some point at this point. But, you know, I have used good orderly direction in every area of my life, except for like recently, you know, just I've shared about it multiple times, but I've just been feeling like disjointed in NA. Like, I feel like I don't know where my place is anymore, because after COVID, I left my home group, you know, the same home group that told me I could keep my clean time with methadone, but I didn't. And so I went to a different meeting. During COVID, we had a woman's meeting that was meeting at my house and a couple other women's house, and we started a woman's meeting, and it's still in existence, but like it didn't feel like a home group to me. So I went to another meeting that kind of felt like a home group, and here I am, you know, I just left that home group, and I think I finally found my spot again. And it's actually, ironically enough, it's in this area. It's in Northeast Freedom. I'm a West Side person. I used on the West Side. I got clean on the West Side. I was born on the West Side. But you know, something is telling me, a power greater than me is telling me, like, this is where I belong, this is where my next move, and it just felt right, you know. So today, like, good orderly direction, it looks a lot like getting out of my own way. When Nathan asked me to speak at this workshop, well, I looked at the time first, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll do that. That's during the banquet. I've been to enough conventions to know, because I was like, yeah, it'll be a small workshop, sure. But I had also been actively praying for guidance at that time. And, you know, I thought, how dare I be praying to about my God, you know, higher power, only to then something come up to be like, oh, no, I can't do that. So I begrudgingly, I like half-assed committed. I was like, oh, let me think about it. I don't know what I'll have going on. Like, I've got some, you know, crazy schedule. But I prayed about it, and I talked to my sponsor, and I decided that I should do it. Because, you know, for me, in order for me to feel a part of this program, I need to be a part of this program. I can't live on the outskirts and live in my house and claim clean time like that I have and not be a part of NA, right? And because this program changed my life. This program saved my life. I was going to die if I did not get clean. You know, I used, but when I say it took like me getting arrested for me to be like, holy shit, this is illegal. My last rehab that I had went to, you know, they do an intake. And the guy, I'll never forget it, the guy, like, he's asking me, so what's your drug of choice? And I was like, well, how much money we got? And he was looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? And I was like, well, how much money we got? What are we working with? And he's like, that was not a hypothetical. Like, that was the actual question. And, you know, and he's like, well, what would you do if you had $20? I was like, that's not enough. We need more. Where, you know, where are we getting more money from? And he looked at me and he said, you are in the right place. And, man, he was right. He was right. And I went into that program or that rehab thinking that I was just going to, you know, get some help at court and not have to go to jail, because I didn't want to go to jail and detox on methadone. I had heard my friends talk about kicking, you know, that habit on a concrete floor, and that did not sound attractive. You know, so I went, and I did, like I said, I did not know that that would lead me to where I am today. And I did not know that the simple program was here in NA, a life-saving program, and all I had to do was come, show up, take the suggestions, work the steps, and my life would be given back to me better than I could have even imagined. You know, and I didn't even really have to, like, you know, do a lot of work. It was a lot more work to get and use every day, you know, but it's a different type of work. I didn't know that I had a lot of trauma from my childhood that had, like, led me to a lot of the behaviors that I have. I didn't know that I could heal from that. But this program has, like, taught me all I have to do is talk about my problems, show up, and there's a solution for everyone, and that I'm not alone. It was funny, the guy who spoke at the workshop before this one, he was like, I speak fast when I'm nervous, and he probably spoke faster than I do, and it made me feel so comfortable, because I do that too, and I was like, he's speaking faster than I am, you know, and it just reminded me, like, again, I'm not this, like, unique person, that nobody else has the problems that I have. I don't know, just very grateful for NA. Sorry, I was looking for my water. I thought I brought it up here. But this program works. I didn't know that I had a me problem. I thought I had a drug problem. I thought, but honestly, when I first came to NA meetings, I used to sit in the back and I would be like, oh, they're definitely high. They're definitely using. You know what I mean? Like, people would be happy and free, and I would be judging everyone. And then I heard the suggestions, you know, listen to the similarities, not the differences. Compare in, don't compare out. And I really, the disease was like kicking my ass in the beginning, because I was on methadone and it told me, one, nobody wants you here, right? Because you're on a replacement therapy. Two, I don't belong here, or I can't have what these people have. And three, like, it was just eating, like, go, like, insistently in my head, just all these excuses. And I would take the suggestions, right? The good orderly direction. I remember I had, like, I probably was kicking methadone at the time, and I didn't have a sponsor. And this woman in my home group invited me to her sponsorship's family thing, and I didn't want to go. you know, they called me up, hey, we're going to come get you. Are you ready? So I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I'll go. I'm ready. And they took me to this woman's house, and we'd like swam in a pool and we had lunch. And then they did like a little mini meeting, and the woman who spoke at that meeting shared about her experience getting off of methadone in Narcotics Anonymous. And in that moment, I thought, well, damn, you know, here I am trying to kick. Nobody knows. I'm miserable. I'm suffering all alone because that's what I do. And I thought, damn, if that lady can do it, so can I. And that was like a shot of hope. That's all I needed to hear to get that belief within myself that I could do it. And man, that lady saved my life. She literally doesn't have any clue, right? I don't think I went up to her years later and was like, I don't even remember who it is. If I'm being honest, I don't remember who the hell it was. But, and she didn't need to do that. All she had to do was carry the message to the addict that was still suffering. She just had to show up and share her story. You know, our stories are powerful. They are life-saving. And man, the past couple years, I have been like, on the outskirts of this thing. And this is my first time at this convention. I'm having a wonderful time. I was here last night until midnight playing bingo, right? Because like, I'm trying to do something different. You know, that's what you guys told me. If I want something different, I have to do something different. I'm just trying to stay in this process just for today. You know, I keep thinking about how like, my recovery used to be, because it's like, yeah, that shit happened. 2020 was, you know, 5 years ago. Like, when are you gonna like get over that? But like, I had to grieve the fact that like that my area was different. Like, some of my favorite meetings that I used to go to religiously are no longer there, or they're still on Zoom, and that shit was painful. And I got resentful. I'm still an addict. You know what I mean? Like, let you shut down my favorite meeting? How dare you? You know, and I will carry that shit until bitter ends, because that's just the way that my brain is wired. But thank God, like, I have enough willingness to still come back here, and I still believe in the power of this program, and I do not want to go back out. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes still today, because when I came here, I was beaten, I was busted, I was a mess. You know, I always like to say when I show a regular meeting, like, I did not look like this, right? Like, a lot of people, I do H&I a lot, and every time, like, this lady was like, I thought they paid you to come and speak to us. She's like, you don't look like somebody that used drugs. But you know, I definitely still have the track marks on my arms if you look hard enough. And I know for sure I'm still an addict. But I don't have a lot of that, like, self-centered fear today. You know, it's still there. It's just not as great as it once was. And I don't have the desire to die like I did for so many years. You know, today I want to live. And all I have to do, it's so simple. It's just show up, you know. It's just be a part of this program. Get involved. Have a commitment. And take the suggestions, right? Like, I just need to remind myself that I'm not alone, and that I'm not unique, and that my problems today are ones that people have already made it through and can show me the solution if I just open my mouth and share about where I'm at. And all I got to do is just show up and share. And sometimes today, you know, life gets busy. We get clean and we get responsibilities and we get careers and we get a job. Thank God I don't have kids. I don't know how people that have kids do this, because I struggle and I don't even have a child at home, let alone like having to take care of another person. You know, but life gets busy. It shows up. I just need to remind myself that I too need to show up. I am really grateful though that like I have heard so many people's stories, and I have listened when people share. You know, you guys talk, the cliches saved my life in the beginning, and I still love them. I don't hear them as much today, probably because I don't go to that many meetings, but you guys told me to listen to learn and learn to listen, right? And I did that. I still sit in the front row at most meetings that I go to, because I have ADHD and my mind will be 1,000 other places if I don't. And I still listen, and I still hear, you know, hear the similarities and not the differences. And I have heard enough people share about relapse in this process, you know, and I'm one of those people that I came in here and I haven't left, but I know that I'm not exempt, right? All it takes is me to stop praying, stop going to meetings, stop calling my sponsor, stop working the steps, and I know where that's going to lead me to. And I still have a healthy fear of using. It doesn't look attractive to me by any means. I see people in active addiction all the time. I work in a hospital. You know, I see people that are detoxing. I see people that are high as hell. I see it all. And it doesn't look attractive, but I'm still an addict. And let some shit happen that I get some feelings about that I want to hide from, you know, my first thought will always be to run and to use. So I have to stay here. I have to be willing to be in this process. I've worked the steps a couple times, and if I'm being honest, I haven't really worked. I worked a couple of traditions, but I haven't rode on a step in a couple of years, and that's new for me. I switched sponsors also around 2020. I had a sponsor that lived out of state, so it wasn't really working. So I switched to my old grand sponsor. And, you know, we were kind of like building the relationship, I guess. We were taking it slow, and she keeps saying, when are you going to start writing on your steps again? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. But reading that sixth step, I was like, damn, I really need to pick back up my step working guide, right? Because that's where the solution is. That's where the change happens. I have had some self-awareness, but there's still a lot of growth to be done in this process. This is a never-ending thing for me. You know, I worked quite a few steps, and I worked them out of the step working guide, and then I worked them out of the way my sponsorship family did, like before, because they were from the West Coast, so they got, you know, clean and did the steps before the step working guide was a thing. But I need to find one. I need to locate my step working guide. That's the first thing. Dust it off and start writing, because, like, the only reason that I feel the way that I feel today is because of what I'm doing. It's not anything else. The program still works. It's still evident. People are still getting clean. I am still, like, blown away that people got clean during 2020 and 2021 just off of Zoom meetings. Because me and my resentful ass was like, I don't want to go to a damn Zoom meeting, right? But I did. I'm just really glad, though, that NA made it through that, and that we still have the commitments that we have. I had been talking for so long about getting another service commitment. I'm on the hotline. I have a hotline commitment. I've had quite a few really amazing things happen through that commitment. And I guess I'll just talk about a power greater than me to share one of those stories. So this lady, I'll never forget it. When I was probably like a couple years clean. This lady called the hotline. I had the Monday night. I had the same shift that I had. I gave it up and then I got it back. And she called the hotline and she was pregnant and she had been using and she knew that she didn't know how far along she was. And she was like help. She was done. She needed help and she didn't know what to do. And I asked her if she was close to a hospital because I didn't know what to. I'm like, can't say like, oh, I'm gonna come get you. I asked her if she was close to a hospital and she said, yeah. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to stay on the phone with you until you walk into that hospital and you tell those people you need help. And, you know, I was able to sit on the phone with this woman for 20 minutes and tell her the same stuff that the predecessors told me. I believe in you. You can do this. You don't have to use. You can go in there and you can change your life, but you're going to have to ask for some help first. You know, Narcotics Anonymous, wherever you end up, just get to a meeting. Raise your hand. Tell the people you need help. They will help you. And I think about that lady often. I've never met her. I can't remember her name, but I still pray for her, right? Because I really believe that there are people in this room that prayed for me before I even made it here. Shit, Mark, my mom, Mark D, my mom is really good friends with Mark D for years. She's known him for years. And, you know, when we circle up at the end of the meeting and they say, pray somebody into these rooms, I can't help but think like my mom and Mark were praying for me for years to come into this process. And it's probably one of the only reasons that I made it because I would watch people die all around me. I still, to this day, don't know how that didn't happen. You know, probably because of power greater than me. And, you know, I'm just really glad. I'm really grateful to this program, to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm really glad. Thank you to everybody who's done anything for this convention. I understand how much work goes into these things. You know, this. I've had a lot of fun personally. I can't talk to anybody for anybody else. But I'm just really grateful. So thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Jermaine.
All right. My name's Jermaine. I'm an addict. Man, my first time ever speaking at a convention. I'm nervous. I don't know how many times I've practiced this in my room, in the shower, on the way here. You know, it sounded real good earlier. I forgot everything. But now, you know, like, good only direction for me, right? It's like God's will versus my will, right? Because, like, I used to, like, I love to live in my own will. I love to do what I want to do. But when the pain gets great enough, you got to change, right? And, like, I like the fact that you shared about, you know, because I got clean at 26, too. You feel me? I got clean at 2016, October 28th. And, right, I went to treatment as well. And, like, my thing is, when I was in treatment, they told me, like, the simple things. Get a network, get a sponsor, get a foundation. And I did none of that. I left out of there on my own will, you know, and, like, I got what I got. I went back out, you know. But something came upon me, right, while I was out there still doing my thing. Something came upon me, like, it was a power greater than myself that was telling me, like, you know you're wrong. You know what you got to do. You know what you need to do. And, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, there's strong ways a ton when we need help, but it's real light when we want something for free or for the arm. You know, I picked this phone up and I called somebody, and, like, I got back, I came back. And that's when my journey began, right? And, like, I ain't do nothing right. My whole 8 years I've been here, I haven't done nothing right but stay clean. And, like, but I have took some suggestions and, like, listen, right? My higher power has a funny sense of humor, a funny way of working, right? So when Nathan hit me and asked me to share this convention, right, I was already at the Baltimore convention. And, like, when I read the message, like, I ain't gonna lie, I started sweating. I'm like, hold up, you want me to share? You know, like, me? And, like, I was thinking about it, I was pondering it, I talked to my sponsor about it. And everybody like, just do it, just do it. And then I'm like, good orderly direction. And I'm like, okay. Well, I guess I can share, and I told him I'd do it. Because, like, me, right, like, I always got that self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm not good enough. Yeah. I ain't going to share a good message. You know, but if I invite my higher power in, what you get is what you're going to get, you know? And, like, but for me, right, like, when I first got clean, like, I was always living how I wanted to do it and not how my higher power wanted me to. Like, I can't come around here and sleep with newcomers. You can't do that no more, Jermaine. No, you can't do that. You can't be in the meeting playing on your phone, or you can't be sitting in the back, because that's what I would do. That's what I would do. But the predecessors would always tell me, look, man, stay off that phone, sit up front. You know, like, I would buck the predecessors. You can't tell me what to do. Like when they used to say, like, oh, when we got clean, somebody used to tell us, sit down, shut the F up, and all that. No, I'm not going for none of that. I couldn't, because, like, ain't nobody going to talk to me, like, because I would feel disrespected. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was just that my feelings was getting hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it was. It was my baby feelings. So, like, so when I think about good orderly direction, right, like, I can't act like that no more. Like, I can't, like, if I'm here and I say, like, I got all this, not all this playing time, but I got some playing time under my belt, I should be able to show a newcomer how it's supposed to be, mm-hmm. You know? Like, I can't sit there and tell a guy, like, he tell me, oh, I'm about to go cheat on my girl. Go ahead and do it. What? That's not what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That is not what I'm supposed to do. And, like, man, like, I practiced this shit so many times and I went blank already. But, like, it's because I'm nervous, though, right? Because this is, like, literally my first time ever speaking at a convention. Like, and I'm grateful and I'm humbled that he asked me to do that, because, like, mm-hmm. somebody sees something in me that I didn't see in myself. Yeah. You know, because when I came around here, I had that low sense of self. You know, I didn't even know if I wanted to be here. I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Mm-hmm. I compare it out, because a lot of people talk about smoking crack and shooting dope. I didn't do that. I popped a lot of pills. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. You know? But, like she said, I had to listen to the pain. That's what I did. I compared with the pain. You know? And, like, with 2 years clean, I lost my cousin to the streets because he wanted to live that street life. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go act out. But I reached out to somebody. They're like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And if you go do something, it's not going to bring your cousin back. He's gone. Mm-hmm. You know? So I had to sit with that feeling. I had to let my higher power in. You know, because I run off of ego. Mm-hmm. Somebody hurt my little pride and my little ego? Oh, no. Nah. I get back in my little baby feelings, a little teenager. The guy shared about earlier, a little teenager. Mm-hmm. I bring the teenager out. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, man. So lately, where I've been at lately, right? So they got this little app, right? It's called FanDuel. No, it's called FanDuel, right? I got this little app on my phone. It's called FanDuel, right? So, I never win, but I always want to win. I always think I'm going to win, you know? But the thing I'm supposed to do, or what I really should do, is delete it. I really should delete it. But the addict in me says, if I delete it, I might be missing my big win. You know, because I always say I could turn $5 to like $5 million or something like that, you know? For real. That's how my disease be working, you know? And like, I share about it, though. I've been sharing about it, and I still have the app on my phone. I haven't, and like, it's crazy, because like, you know what's funny? I haven't made a bet since the Super Bowl. But the app's still on my phone. Why is it there? That's like, I feel like that's a reservation. Like, for real, to me, that feels like a reservation. But the thing is, like, for some reason, I have not deleted that app. And I don't know why. I really don't. And, like, my higher power telling me to delete it, but the disease telling me to keep it. You know? And, like, man, like, so I've been, like a tug and pull match with my disease and my higher power, basically. And for real, I'm, like, easing God out. Like, I'm pushing him to the side, falling for the disease, because I almost made a bet last night. But I didn't. You know? I caught myself. But the right thing to do would be, I'm going to just delete the fucking app. For real. I'm going to just delete the app. Excuse me if I'm cussing. I'm just going to delete the app. I ain't going to put my phone out now and do it now. Talk me out of me. Because I go downstairs and somebody see me downstairs, like, look, did you delete that app? I might sit there and tell you, no, I didn't. I might have put a parlay and walked down the steps. I don't know. You know? But, like, so my thing is, right, like, I get more joy out of laughter, right? Because a couple years ago wasn't nothing funny, you know. A while ago wasn't nothing funny. I was miserable. You feel me? Like, it wasn't nothing funny at all, you know. And by me coming here and following some sort of good orderly direction, because I didn't follow every suggestion. I promise you, I didn't. They told me to come around here. Whatever keeps me coming, keep coming. So, you know, the key tags. I wanted every key tag. The females, I wanted them too. So I kept coming back. A lot of people in here know me, and they can contest to that. But I kept coming back.
That's right.
And, like, over time, things changed. Like, my outlook, my perspective changed. And, like, I started staying for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons, you know? And, like, so by me staying here and doing what I'm supposed to do, I received a lot of the blessings that came with it. You know, like, so I got my daughters, right? So two of my daughters made honor roll. So I'm like, okay, that's what's up. Like you, I think they gave me my diploma, because I think I was the first person for that No Child Left Behind program. Dead serious. I think I was the first person enrolled in that, because, like,
you were left behind?
Yeah, I was definitely left behind. Like, I had a 9th grade home group number with 10th grade classes. And, like, it was to the point where it was my father, and it was trying to get me to drop out. You know, my father and my aunt was trying to get me to drop out, and I go tell my grandmother, and my grandmother fussed both of them out and made my father pay for my summer school, and I got my diploma. And my grandmother told me, like, well, I made that happen because me, your father, your mother, we don't have ours. You know, like, I felt like my grandmother was already trying to break a cycle right there, trying to break the chain. Yeah. She wanted me to do something different. Mm-hmm. And, like, I could sit and say today, like, I'm nothing like them. You know? And, like, when my kids showed me that they made the honor roll, I took them out and said, all right, we can go to the mall and get whatever y'all want. Wow. My pockets paid for it. Sure did. Sure did. $500 later, I said, okay. All right. Y'all happy? They happy? I'm happy. Now I can go back to work. You know? But that's what I get to do today. By me sitting around here following good orderly direction and seeing guys, like, reward their kids for good. Because, like, years ago, it was F them kids. What kids? For real. It was F them kids. But now I get to be there in their life. I get to be a father. I get to be a friend. Somebody can call me and say, oh, I'm going through something. I will talk to you. Don't say it. Call me and say, oh, I'm about to go to the strip club. You want to go with me? I might hang up on you. Because I don't even like strip clubs. I don't like strippers. I think they stink. For real. For real.
saw you here last night.
but for real though, like, I will help anybody. Yeah. But the thing is, I'm not gonna help you if I feel like I'm doing all the work.
Yeah. Damn.
You know? Like, you gotta meet me somewhere.
Yeah.
If I'm pushing, you gotta pull.
Mm-hmm.
For real, you gotta meet me somewhere. Like, happy medium. And like, so like, now it's like, my father calls me, my aunt calls me, and they all tell me how proud of me they is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, that's only through this program, you know? And like, so I had my sister, right? My sister, she's one of us. She's been struggling. And like, her mother called me. She said, I want to make your sister go to treatment. I said, you want to make her? She said, yeah. I said, well, that ain't going to work. She said, what you mean? I said, she might leave the same day.
Yeah.
I said, if she's not ready, she's not ready. You can't force it on her. I said, you got to wait. Like, for me, I had to raise my hand and say, I'm ready. I had to go to my father, beaten, busted, and disgusted. Like, look, I'm ready. And he was waiting on it. You know, like, my higher power works through people. And, like, I was sitting in his house, and we was looking for treatment facilities and all that. And we get a knock at the door, and it was somebody I used to use with. And he came in there, and he looked all, he had suit and tie and all that on. And I'm like, all right. He must have took a walk with Jesus or something. I don't know what happened. But he didn't look the same when me and him was using. And it was like, I like that aura. And, like, I wanted that. So I asked him, like, what did you do? And like they said, I mean, if you want what we got, you got to do what we do. So I did what he did, and I went to treatment. And like, I didn't stay clean at the treatment, right? Not right then and there. But I had that seed, that little seed that we plant. I had that seed planted, and like, I don't know how people do it, man. You get a dose of NA and go back out. I don't know how you do it. I kind of picture myself using, after getting a little taste of this, trying to get high here in the serenity prayer. Oh my God, y'all blow my high. For real. You know what I mean? Try to roll a blunt here in the serenity prayer or something. 12, you know what I mean? Like, what? That would blow my high instantly. For real. So I just rather stay. Because like, and it's like, it's a simple program, right? And it's free. Like, when I stopped using, I got an instant pay raise. I got my life back. My family got they son, nephew, they uncle back. My kids got their father back. I'm employable today. I'm a good friend. I show up. I'm sweating like a motherfucker right now. I ain't going to lie to you because I'm so nervous. Yeah, sir. Like, because, like, sir, like, this is my first ever, this is like my, literally my first time ever sharing at a convention. And, like, and it's like, man, like, somebody see something in me to ask me.
That's right.
That's right. And like, bro, I'm like overwhelmed with gratitude, you know, because like, it hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it, you know. So last year, like 2 years ago, I lost my sister. Like, she had health issues, and I got to show up, and like, somebody asked me, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I don't know how to feel. I just know I ain't gonna use. You know, I know everything gonna be alright. I just leave it in the hands of my higher power. You know? And like, it's tough to lose somebody. You know, like, I got a lot of siblings, right? I do. But the one I lost, they like hit differently because we grew up together, we got in trouble together, we got our ass whipped together. We went to the same elementary school. That was my road dog, my best friend. You know? And like, just to hear, like, get a phone call that she's gone, it's like, now what? You know? And, like, I looked up, like, I got the phone call, and I looked up to the sky. I was in a meeting, and I went back in the meeting, and I shared about it. Like y'all told me. Y'all told me to share about when I'm going through something. Pain shared is pain lesson, and that's what I did. And the amount of love, phone calls, text messages that I got, can't repay that. You know? I can't repay that. Like, and I'd have lost a lot of people in this process because a lot of people just chose not to follow good orderly direction. They wanted to follow their own direction. And when you follow your own direction, you get what you get. You know? And like, I did it one month before, but I didn't go out using drugs. You feel me? Like, I did it with women. You see, I'm clearly doing it with FanDuel. Mm-hmm. You know? I do it with shopping. I like to shop. I just told my homeboy earlier, I'm going to go, you're going to see me with that sweatsuit on. And that's what, and I was on Nike in here looking at it. You know? But, like, that's not, like, but the thing is, though, like, my disease acts out in other areas. Mm-hmm. They don't need the drugs to take me out. You know, like, I'm single. It's females. You know, like, I can eat a lot. I don't gain no weight, so I can eat what I want. Yeah. Yeah, I don't gain no weight, Sam. I can eat what I want. Yeah. But, like, lately, though, for real, like, lately. yeah. Somebody said it to catch up with me. But, like, lately, though, where I've been at lately, like, I've been diving myself into work a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like my recovery is on a back burner. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I've been working so much, and, like, I'm doing this new shift that's going, like, 11 to 7 overnights, and, like, I sleep all day, and, like, I just be tired. And, like, my meeting attendance is taking a hit. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can recognize it. You feel me? And, like, only me, I have the power to change that. Can't nobody change it for me. That means I gotta do something better. You know? And like, this is like me telling on myself. You feel me? Like, I gotta tell on myself in order to get the help that I need. You know? That's why when I came to this convention, I said, I'm staying here. You know? Because I need my spirit fed. Mm-hmm. For real. Because like, I haven't been in the best spiritual place because I've just been tired. Like, when I left the main speaker meeting last night, I went to my room. I slept, woke up at 1:30. I'm like, I'm about to go back downstairs. And I look at the time, it's 1:30. I said, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and go back to sleep. You know? But I was exhausted. Because, like, I was running off of 24 hours of sleep. No sleep, my bad. Like, I wanted to get here early to beat the traffic. Because I'm coming all the way from the Bay Area. And everybody that drives knows how 695 traffic is. We ain't got no bridge, so 895 is messed up too. So like, I wanted to get here early and try to get some rest, but that didn't happen. So I ended up oversleeping a lot last night. Mm-hmm. And but I could speak all day about how this program has like changed my life. But the thing is though, it changed my life because I allowed it to change my life. You know, like I came in here like I sat in the back, I played on my phone a lot. My homeboy liked to joke and say, I'm the only person he knows that stayed clean that sat on the back row. He still says that till his day. But, like, I sit in the back. I don't know why. I don't know. I can't explain it well. I can't explain why I sit in the back. I just sit in the back. I do sit in the back. But, so I do have a home group. I do got a position in that home group. I miss my home group to be here. But I let my home group members know. So that way somebody could take my position and do it for that 1 week and I'll be back. I don't play by my position in my home group. I pass out the key tags. You're not passing out my key tags. For real, because I like my commitment. I like my home group. I love my home group. I've been there for 7 years. You know, my first home, I've been there for 6 years. My first home group, I was there for 2 years, and I just didn't feel like it was feeding my recovery. So y'all always told me I had to do what was best for my recovery, and that's what I did. I changed my home group. And, like, I've been there for 6 years, and it's like, that's my place. Every Friday night, you will catch me there. I'm there early to help set up, like y'all told me to do. Get there early, stay late, help set up, help clean up, and I'm always willing to help a newcomer. You know, like, I remember when people used to take us out, we used to go to the Wednesday night meeting at 10 o'clock up on Emerson Avenue, and we would go right to Denny's afterwards. And now sometimes I didn't even want to go to Denny's because I didn't have the money, but they didn't care about that. Somebody would pay for me, you know? And that's what I do now. Like, if somebody come out with us and they don't have no money, I didn't ask you that. Are you going? Because if you're going, I got you. And my thing is, I don't want nothing in return. Just do it for somebody else. And I do that because somebody did it for me. They made me feel welcome. You feel me? They showed me unconditional love. They showed me, like, you can still have fun while being clean. And, like, that was one of my big things. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do now. You know? Then we start doing stuff like, look, I can't swim, you know? And they want to go to Beaver Dam. And I'm like, what is this? Yeah. Beaver Dam? Yeah, let me go ahead and get my life jacket. Yeah. For real. For real. They know. People in here, I cannot swim. I'll gratefully put that, humbly and gratefully, I will put that life jacket on. That's following good order direction to me. If I can't swim, I'm not going out there. What? I asked the lifeguard one time how deep it is, and she said some numbers that I ain't even like to hear. And I'm like, okay, man, I'm going to go ahead and get me a life jacket, you know? And, like, that's my thing, though. Like, I love to have fun. I do. I really do. Like, I genuinely like to have fun. And, like, I'm genuinely, like, the person that will help anybody. I will help anybody. You know, like, I'm the guy that, like, if you talk about me, that's fine. I still love you. If you don't like me, that's fine. I still love you. Because, like, I don't got time for it. You know, like, I came around here to, like, better my life. I came in here to better my life, to deal with people out there. You know? And, like, it's helping me. By me being in here, getting this information from my predecessors and even from the newcomers. Because I'm always teachable. Like, it helps me deal with society out there, because a lot of people out there, hey, listen, people out there need a program too, trust me. Yeah. See how unspiritual I get, somebody cut me off. Hey, right day, wrong moment, man. For real. Because, like, it's like, all right, so my mother, right? I'm going to talk about my mother, right? My mother, she's one of us, right? I was took from my mother when I was 3 years old. She's in a program now. But the thing is, she's in a program to stop drinking. She's on methadone. She don't want to get off of that. She's scared of it. I said, okay, I'm here for you. You know, like, her process is her process. I just got to respect her process. I'm just grateful she wants to do something different. You know, I never looked at my... Oh, man, that's the best sign I've ever seen in my life. Glad to God. I'm so grateful for you. But, like, so, like, her process is her process. And, like, my little brother and little sister don't really understand. You know, but I understand because I went through the addiction. I went through it. I still go through it. You know, just different forms. And, like, my mother can call me today and ask me to help me with anything, and I will do it. I will show up, because that's what I get to do today. And, yeah, I seen the 5 minute sign, so I guess it's time for me to wrap it up. I like to thank the committee, Nate, all y'all good people, you know. I'm sweating like thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Alright. My name's Dan, I'm an addict. I wanna thank Allie and Jermaine again for a good meeting. And we can close the meeting with a moment of silence. Reflect on why we're here, followed by a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.